At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Wells.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Every single day, I would be asking, or every other day to nauseam, I'd be asking about, this doesn't seem right. This seems off.
And I will tell you, as somebody who is in the clubhouses, you know, and has done that reporting from the games and covered teams, you run the risk of alienating people in the clubhouse and in the front office and everywhere if you continue to ask the same thing when they've answered it already and the answer is not going to be different. And even if there is something, they don't necessarily have to tell you the full truth.
So you think this is reporters kind of reading between the lines, Steve?
I'm talking about the guys in the locker room asking,
do you think that's why they haven't been asking about the shoulder?
I mean, they're not even asking at all. Like, they maybe asked in spring. I don't see anyone asking it at all.
And I think the issue is, you know, it's going to be a gradual thing. So you ask about it in the spring. And then, you know, Corbin Carroll certainly doesn't want to dwell on it. Torey Lovullo certainly doesn't want to dwell on it. And for the players, I mean, you've got pride yourself. You don't want to make excuses if you're a ball player. And so, you know, why would you even say anything if you were Corbin Carroll? Just work through it. You know, players play hurt all the time. And that's part of being a professional. So I get it where if you're in the clubhouse every single day, nobody wants to hear you ask the same question on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, when you know the answer is not going to be any different. So why bother? And yeah, I think, you know, that's kind of the mindset. You know, I can see it from the reporter side, and I can also see it from the fan side.
I feel like I'd be like Monday, I'd be like, is the shoulder an issue and causing the struggles? They'd be like, no. And then the next day, I feel like I'd come in and I'd be like, Corbin, why do you think that everybody is pitching you high and upside and continuously pitching you in one
You'd
area?
Ask it a different way.
I just keep asking it in different areas because the hard hit rate, 24% garbage, expected batting average under 240. He's barreling less. His average exit velocity, I know some people, blah, 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 it's not sticky. Okay, it's 83 miles an hour, bottom 3rd percentile of the leagues. He is hitting under 200 against fastballs right now. He's, because they're attacking him high in the zone, it seems odd and weird. And obviously, he's a very talented player, my favorite player in baseball, and can fix it. But when there's this recency versus like the longevity of the season, and it's like the improvements, whether Ellie does coming back and ending this, whether Ellie does go through some of these struggles, like we talked about, he is walking more, which I think that will come down. I also think like the pitches that he's able to walk on, I probably have to see a chart, but I bet they're easier to sit off of in how he's being pitched, but he's barreling more. He's walking more. Like, those are really good signs. The K percentage came down from 40%. Like, those, even in the bottom barrel of he was hitting 240, like, he's still doing all these other things at an exceptional level where Corbin is not.
And I will say one other thing about Ellie too, is that he's been abysmal against left-handed pitchers. And, you know, in the early season, I don't know exactly what the breakdown is, but, you know, especially early on when we played 20 whatever games, you're going to see, you know, some of those discrepancies where he's not going to be facing too many left-handed pitchers. He's going to face more of them. And then as the season progresses, if he's still struggling, you're going to see lefties brought in specifically to face him. And so he's going to have to improve that as well if he's going to be able to continue on, you know, anywhere close to the kind of offensive pace that he's on right now.
You want to talk about Bismol too? Just want to throw this out. 161. That's Corbin Carroll's batting average against righties, against righties right now. Without even looking, it won't load up for me, so I'll look at it later. But without even looking, all I do is start building this like template in my brain of like, oh, interesting. Why would righties be the guy that are the struggle? And you know, why is it that they're pumping more fastballs? Maybe you're seeing less of those breaking pitches and they're pumping it high up in the zone. And I would actually think lefties high up in the zone would be a problem more for a lefty on like the inside hand of a fastball coming in and turning on it.
Maybe, but it's like easier to lay off of those if it's coming from a lefty.
Yeah, but that's also abysmal. Okay, yeah. Bogman, not abysmal, but in the same territory of excitement is our next player.
Yeah, I want to talk about Jared Jones, Steve. I mean, where do you think he belongs among starting pitchers? And do you think we should be selling high? Because right now he has the number one, he's number two, excuse me, in K per walk. He has the, I think he's top 25 in Sierra among pitchers that qualify, or in ERA, he's 25th. He is second in Sierra and he's number one in XFIP. Right now, his strikeout rate, is crazy, crazy high. It's 34.8%. His walk rate is 3.6%. Like, we know these numbers aren't sustainable. He has two pitches that are inside the top 60 in pitch run value right now. His fastball and his slider.
That's all he throws, though. That's why
it's unbelievable the success he's having, but. You know, last year was his most innings as a professional at 126 and a third. There's probably going to be some limits here, and there's going to be a snapback to, you know, reality here for him pretty soon. So,
rank for you? Because like we're leading the witness a little bit, which I get here, but rank start?
What I'm saying is these numbers can't stay possibly high, but he's great. He's been good. Even if it comes down, he's still amazing. So, you know, where do we rank him now and where do you see him going for the rest of the season? And is this your opportunity to sell is the question.
Well, I'll tell you what, I watched his last start and I was just blown away. I mean, I had seen bits and pieces and, you know, segments here and there, but I watched the entire thing while he was out there. And I was just, my jaw was hitting the floor. I mean, there's the stuff they couldn't catch up to it. I think he allowed one home run and that was basically it. Rhys Hoskins maybe took him deep and that was it. And it was just a joy to watch. And so my point is all the signs are there, all the metrics, you listed them. I mean, I think he's like one of the tops in strike percentage as well. So, I mean, he can get around the zone. He's not walking anybody. That means no extra base runners are on. I love him. And I think you could comfortably put him inside the top 20 starters right now. And the innings thing does not worry me a whole lot, because what I think is going to happen is, I mean, we're going to see him continue to be in the rotation, take the ball. We may see a Strasburg shutdown kind of thing. You know, if the Pirates are out of the playoff chase and have nothing to play for in September, they could get to a point where they say, okay, you've thrown 155 innings. That's good enough. Take the rest of the day, you know, the rest of the season off, hang out with the team. You know, you can see how they're slowly pushing Paul Skenes up in the minor leagues. I think they want to have him get, majority of his innings this year in the major leagues. But if he gets to a point where they're like, okay, that's it, I think they're going to cut him off too. So as for Jared Jones, use him, take him all the way to the limit, you know, get whatever you can. And then if they shut him down, consider yourself lucky, tip your cap. go find somebody else to help rescue you the rest of the way. But I think, you know, the talent is undeniable. And yes, having only seen one full game of his, I look at those numbers and all of the you know, the chats from people who have seen him as a prospect coming up, and the talent is legit. So I'm super.
So excited. You don't think you should get out from under him at any point?
Absolutely not. I'm not. I wouldn't do it.
Yeah. It's funny to me that you mentioned Strasburg, because like, this is the type of start, like, we expected it from Strasburg and got it. We mm-hmm. didn't expect it from Jared Jones, but we're getting these kind of Strasburg like numbers to start his career. So it's been a lot of fun to watch.
What also is interesting is the Pirates are fourth in the Central, but they're two games over 500 as we're recording this right now. So they're also an over 500 team. You know what I think would be interesting?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You want to punch me right now, but you won't.
Why don't you punch me in the face? Punch me in the face!
Hey, Derek, you know what's always good for shoulder pain?
What?
If you lick my...
In this league.
Maybe you should look at selling Jared Jones really high. But I did it too early, and I think that was wrong. But I the caveat was, you know, 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago was like, hey, if we're viewing him as a top 30 pitcher and you could sell him in that vicinity of like you're selling a top 30 pitcher, that's where you should consider because of XXX. Well, now that doesn't look good because, you know, you're saying from a stable standpoint, he looks like a top 20 pitcher. There, you can make the argument at this point with his efficiency that he could be he's a top 10 pitcher moving forward for the rest of the year, especially in Dynasty. I think you can make that discussion.
Absolutely.
So, you know, that may end up being wrong. I do want to see what happens when he struggles. I want to see what struggles look like because he is also very efficiently getting things done in like 80, 85 pitches through five or six innings. Like what happens when you have Cole Reagans almost had more pitches the other day in the second inning than Jared Jones had in that start where he got pulled through five. So I want to see what happens when Jared Jones starts to get some of those struggles. It doesn't take away the run value if you talk about those two pitches, but he is another two pitch pitcher. So I say all these things kind of presenting this semi-negative, but I think it's always for me been about like hyper acquisition. Like when George Kirby was struggling, you can go get George Kirby or you go get, you know, a bat that completely changes your team and you've sold them as a top 25 SP. But here's what maybe one more scenario to consider in this game of how to keep, because they're really in our face about Jared Jones being like, hey, we got to keep him healthy. We got to get him for the season. We're winning games. Maybe the Pirates look into a six-man rotation because if you look at their rotation right now, Bailey Falter's actually played pretty good. Martin Perez is solid. You obviously have Mitch Keller. You got Quinn Priester, which is maybe an interesting one, but Marco Gonzalez out. Maybe this team considers going a six-man rotation with Paul Skenes so it lowers everybody's overall workload. Yep. You cap them to 80, 85 pitches. You don't let them go beyond the whole season. You stay stringent on that. And you go a six-man rotation, so it just maybe takes a couple and shaves a couple off. That is sustainable, and that's good. But there's this little tiny part of me that still is like, if you get someone that wants to pay that extreme price, you do it. But I would be really stubborn about it because he has looked amazing. Yeah. It is very Strider-like in how he's efficiently used two pitches. I still wonder if he just hasn't needed to adjust to the league where he's got to throw more changeups or more curveball, because he throws them like less than 10% of the time. He is a primary like two pitch pitcher, but no one has caught up to his stuff. He's like an anomaly to me. Every part of my gut says, oh, you got to like probably opt if you're a tradey person. I'm not as big of a tradey person, but a lot of people want to know that if you're going to move a guy, this is the time, you know, this kind of the focus of what we're talking about here. But I do like the restraint of what you're saying, because I'm in a position, I have him in quite a few places, but a lot of them are draft and hold. So I just get to reap the benefits. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you do want to just reap the benefits. Roto, it probably is much better placed in doing that. Head to head is the tricky one, but I can appreciate coming on and not being like, hey, we got to sell him. Just roll that ride, because even through the ups and downs, you know, maybe it's like what Ellie's turning into. Maybe the ups and downs are going to just stabilize where it's like, hey, guess what? This is better than when Kevin Gausman is playing. Like, what about that right now with how Kevin Gausman is? Who would you rather have, Jared Jones or Kevin Gausman?
Rest of the season.
Say it.
I guess Kevin Gausman.
I guess if I have to.
To take you through the end of the season. Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
But in terms of the next 3 months, I think that's much, much closer. And I might even take Jones on that.
Let's talk about this subject. This actually kind of leans into it, talking about Paul Skenes. Before I start talking about the players, I'd like to get your take on the idea of stashing prospects. Because A, I think there's a contingency of people that think that's just stupid in general. B, there's a contingency of people that are always looking to the next guy that they could have and using their bench in a stashy capacity. And then the third side is we've seen a lot of lack of success from prospects. It's pretty, I mean, Jared Jones is, he almost doesn't feel like a prospect. He sure is, everybody. But we, you know, Churio has been good, but he's hitting like under 220. Jackson Holliday, the worst of the worst. Mm-hmm. Wyatt Langford has like no counting stats to speak of. Evan Carter has struggled. It's the anti-ish last year because Corbin just went nuts. Gunner did struggle. And then we just kept, Bryce Miller was awesome last year. We're not getting any of that. We're getting tons of struggles with prospects. So attaching early struggles, but overall, the overall philosophy, what is your take on actually stashing of prospects?
I think it's sort of like, fine dining. You know, you'll try the escargot, but you're not going to gorge yourself on it. And so in this case, if you've got, you know, an open roster spot, I'm perfectly happy to dedicate, you know, that streaming spot at the bottom of your roster or whatever. I've got a couple of leagues. One, I've got, Heston Kerstad, who was just called up by the Orioles. You know, he's sitting on an AL-only team of mine. Very happy to have stashed him for, you know, the first 3-4 weeks of the season. And we'll see how that turns out. You know, I'm not taking a victory lap by any means, but he's up now. Christian Scott from the Mets. Just picked him up in a league where you can, you know, stash prospects. And
oh, does it have NA spots?
No, he counts on your bench, but it's a deep enough bench, you know, six players and unlimited IL where, yeah, there's room. I can stash him there.
Okay. So you're open to the idea of getting ahead of like FAB and waivers and eating a couple weeks, because I think there's a lot of people that aren't. And it's like, hey, why sacrifice this dead bench spot when you can get some production? But I also think like there's a lot of leagues where it's like, okay, well, what does that mean? Does that mean like, hey, everybody, Blaze Alexander's doing stuff, so don't hold on to Junior Caminero for Blaze. Mm-hmm. You know, like I just don't think it's one for one. So then let me ask you who I think are probably at the tippy top of the three stashes and your take on them. And let's start with Paul Skenes. Paul Skenes is the top of that stash range. Do you think it is worthwhile, knowing what we know now, knowing how this team is running and how he's performing? I think he gave up his first earned run today as we're recording this. Do you believe that Paul Skenes needs to be stashed?
I think so, yes. And, you know, as we've seen, pitchers are no...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Guarantees anymore starting pitchers to go 180, 200 innings. So you basically have to maximize the innings that you get. And, you know, Spencer Strider was a revelation for me in that, you know, the new baseball way of dealing with pitchers and deploying pitchers. You know, you get as many high quality innings as you can. And if, you know, he's going to, you know, your pitcher's getting taken out in the fifth inning, but he still gets you 8 strikeouts.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You can't believe what fell. All your dreams just pops down the drain. Let's play some
in this league.
We accept it. And so that's kind of my approach to some of these pitching prospects.
I completely agree with stashing Skeens to the point to where I did it in a league last week. So I'm definitely on that board. I do want to ask you though, Steve, how short is the league and how shallow is the bench to where you would say, I probably can't stash a guy like Skeens? Like, how small of a league is that?
Yeah, I would say, like, I'm thinking of the FSGA league, which is 14 teams and it's mixed, and we've got 6 bench spots and unlimited IL where I stash Christian Scott. I think that's a perfectly legit, and you could go down to maybe, you know, even 5 bench spots or possibly 4 now that we're this far into the season, and you'd have to think that Skeens is coming up fairly soon. I'm fine.
Anything like 12 man, 5 or 6 spots, you're definitely keeping him there too.
Yeah.
So you'd have to go down to like 10 and 4 or something.
Yeah, Boggs, you just nailed it. I was about to say, I feel like 10 man with like a 3 bench is tough because it's like, do I really want it? We had this exact thing happen in our, I think it was our Discord. We do a Discord show on Fantasy Pros on Wednesdays. And someone was like, you know, hey, oh yeah, this is what it was. They were like, I needed this third outfielder. You know, should I pick up Castellanos or Castellanos was on the wire. It was Castellanos and someone. Oh, and Riley Green. And he's like, I got Evan Carter. Should I drop Carter for one of those two? And I was like, who else is on your bench? And he had 2 bench spots and Caminero was one of them. And I was like, buddy, I got to tell you, I'm dropping Caminero for Riley Green and I'll drop Evan Carter for Castellanos. And Joe disagreed with me. But I'm like, when you have too much production that's sitting on the wire, to hold on in a redraft format for a rookie,
doesn't make sense.
I get the upside, but also look at some of these struggles that are going on. Like, it's just, it's too much of an unknown. So like, let's translate what we just said into Caminero real quick, because Caminero, I think, is like the tippy top of like the prospects in the prospect world. Mm-hmm. And the Rays seem like they wanted to get a spot. Like, do you think, also understanding this caveat, do you think Caminero is in the same Paul Skeens territory? Do you think it's tougher or do you think it's even better because it's a bat? Is he a stash?
I think he's pretty close. I think if you've got a guy, if he's going to play, certainly when he's called up, he's going to play every day.
Sure.
In that regard. So yeah, I'm okay. But in those shallow leagues, like you're talking about, those 10 teamers and so few bench spots, maybe those two guys are the only ones that I'm really taking a chance on. They got to be at the very, very top of the prospect list.
Okay. So here's the last one. And this one will hit closer to home. James Wood. I speculated today before they did make a move, but I'm still not sold. Lane Thomas, I don't know if he officially hit the IL or he did. The IL. Yeah, they're going to figure out. I don't know if they know the full diagnosis. Again, I may have just missed it. I just know they like put him on the IL. And Trey Lipscomb came up, who's an infielder, Bogman's favorite player. And I had speculated right when it happened. I was like, oh my God, go and pick up James Wood right now, because what if they make that move? This would be the opportunity for them to do it. So, and then we officially saw they brought up Lindskum, but I still thought to myself, you know, I don't know if, like, just because Lane went to the IL and they brought up Trey, who's an infielder primarily, that says James Wood will not come up at all. Because if this is more long, all they've been doing is band-aiding with these older players that are not, you know, the Joey Gallos of the world and Eddie Rosario's and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That it's like, if you were to lose Lane for an extended period of time, James Wood has been absolutely destroying the minors. Does he have things to work on? Yeah, maybe, probably. You want to make sure you have control. You don't want to set him back, but he's cut his strikeouts down. I still kind of think there's an opportunity. You just said Caminero and Skeens might be the only two guys. You feel any different with what I laid out? And maybe I'm just underselling the idea that the Nationals are like, absolutely not. We're not going to mess with this guy or even mess with contractual stuff.
I don't get the impression that the Nationals are itching to call up James Wood. So he would not be on my list of that, you know, that short list. I think the Nationals are being far more patient. And as you said, to sign a Joey Gallo and Eddie Rosario and guys like that, and, you know, Victor Robles is possibly on the way back as well. So if, you know, Thomas is out for a while, you could easily see them saying, okay, we're going to plug him in there and we'll keep Wood, you know, playing it in, you know, on the farm at Rochester, and that'll be fine. So I don't think his call up is imminent. And as much as I love to watch him, and, you know, we get a little bit of extra.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league
is cooking.
You know, coverage of in the DC area of James Wood and Dylan Cruz and some of their exploits. And I'm as excited as heck to see those guys when they eventually do come up to the majors. I'm thinking it's going to be later rather than sooner.
Real quick, looking at this roster, they, at least according to Roster Resource, that Lipscomb has come up to play first so they can move Joey Gallo. They've got Gallo in right, Eddie Rosario in center, and Jesse Winker in left, with Lipscomb at first, Nick Senzel playing third. And their bench are guys like Nassim Nunez, Vargas, Jacob Young, Drew Miley. It's just one of those. I will point out, you look at that and you go, oh, okay. Yeah, James Wood doesn't fit on that roster. Like, that is organizational best management if you've ever seen it. But yeah, you're probably right. Some teams are just not willing to push the barrier on these guys and be aggressive. And the Nationals probably don't have a whole lot to prove, you know, when they're fourth in the East, and they're only two games out of 500. But yeah, you're probably right.
I want to ask about a starting pitcher again here, Steve. Tanner Houck, not the same as Jared Jones, right? But still having a ton of success. He is, you know, I listed off all those top, you know, two or whatever. Tanner Houck is top 10 in K to walk ratio. He's very high in ERA, and his Sierra and XFIP they're a little bit higher than his ERA, but they're not insane. I will say that when you look at Savant and look at his pitches, he doesn't have the two pitches that are fantastic like Jared Jones does, but his one is a top 15 pitch in his slider so far in baseball. It is getting hit the expected BA on it is 183. On his split finger and cutter, it's under 250 on both of those. He's getting a little mashed on his sinker, which is what he throws the second most at 347. It has a high hard hit rate as well, but the slider is the key to his success. He's been outstanding so far. 1.65 ERA. Sierra's 2.86. XFIP is 2.80. CSW is 31.6, which would be the highest of his career. Mm-hmm. The walk percentage is also, I mean, I think that's going to regress back to his, you know, his career is 8.2%. It's 3.8% now. But what are your thoughts on Tanner Houck and continuing this success when it's mainly based off the slider?
Well, I think Andrew Bailey deserves a ton of credit, you know, as the pitching coach there. Everybody, it seems like, on that Boston pitching staff has taken a step forward this year. Now, that's probably not sustainable, but when you're changing the pitch mix, and I think they are throwing the fastball less than anybody or any other team in the majors, and they're relying on the off-speed stuff and the breaking stuff, and it's working tremendously. I mean, you've kind of unlocked all of those guys, Cutter, Crawford as well, but Houck especially. And I remember
Bayo's having a great year too.
Yeah,
well, exactly. Hit the IL and just hit the. Unfortunately, he just hit the IL today, 15 day, and then Pivetta's been on it. So in all of that success that we have seen, we already have
Slider's most dangerous pitch, and that's what Houck throws the best. So
yeah, I'm so immensely impressed with Houck. Like I think Houck, the trajectory of where he's going and his stuff, it's one of those you're just mad that you weren't like beating the drum for it. But you're right, he has been completely unlocked as far as his stuff. You know, I had presented this in our show sheet, and I'm just curious. We saw Blake Snell hit the IL today, kind of, you know, like out of nowhere, but he hasn't performed very well. And he's already hit the IL after, you know, coming in late and missing time and blah, blah, blah. And that's just not a good thing in general. And we know the worries that we kind of generally have with him. Bogman had put this at the bottom of our sheet as well. He's one of the biggest decreasers on K percentage on the year, which you could like just excuse as far as like, oh, well, you know, it's only a couple starts and working up. Yeah. Like you can excuse that. But then at the same time, it's like really extreme, like over 10%. So I wonder, with Blake Snell on the IL, knowing who he is and knowing he's on the IL right now, or Tanner Houck, who would you want rest of season?
I think I'd rather have Tanner Houck. And it didn't take a whole lot of time to think about that either. It's Snell has been, you know, so high and low throughout his entire career. You get the good Cy Blake Young Snell. Last year. I know you get the really good Blake Snell. You get a Cy Young pitcher. You get the really bad Blake Snell, and he just torches all of your ratios, and you're not going to be able to recover from something like that. So, I think one of the things. I don't know, you know, he fired his agent, fired Scott Boras and all that sort of stuff. The way that things went down this offseason for him and then trying to come in without a rehab assignment or any of that before he went back to pitching in the major leagues, you know, kind of the opposite of Jordan Montgomery. And certainly the jury is still out at this point, but it looks like Jordan Montgomery took the right approach and Blake Snell took the wrong approach. And right now, I think, you know, whether there's really an injury that is enough to put him on the IL, Blake Snell just needs a reset. And this will give him that opportunity to maybe, you know, after the 15 days are up, to go to the minor leagues and make some minor league starts and see if he can get that back. Because he has not looked like certainly anywhere close to the Blake Snell that we saw last year.
So do you think, is that more about like Snell hurting and Houck than Houck coming up? Or do you think like it's the combo of like Houck really is changing the scope? Like he is one of these guys. We're having quite a few of these, some by proxy of just like every pitcher's getting hurt. So guys are just going to move up. But, you know, like Jerry Jones has moved up aggressively. Garrett Crochet, even though he's gotten banged around a little bit aggressively. Tanner Houck, like, do you think he belongs in that discussion of the highest risers? Does Houck belong with like Crochet and Jarrett Jones? And that's kind of like that same thing of like, is it, what side is greater, Houck being good or Snell being garbage?
I think it's more of Houck being good. I don't know that I would put him all the way up, you know, into that Jarrett Jones kind of classification, but it's certainly, you know, Snell being bad. I think there's still time for him to come back and be very good. But at this point, I think Houck has such a head start on him, and Snell is going to have to come back. He's got to be healthy. Then he's got to improve. He's got to get the velo back and everything else that comes with it. I just don't think it's, you know, there's enough time in the season for him to make up the difference.
Yeah, I've watched quite a few Houck starts too, and this like there's just this thing you get in pitchers, and I remember seeing this like 2 years ago with him, where it's just like, you know, you get rattled and you don't look I don't know if I want to say stoic, like you don't look comfortable. Like Brandon Fott still doesn't look comfortable all the time. But yeah, you know, I always joke he's just red.
I don't know
and
if he's ever going to look comfortable though.
Yeah, he might not ever, but he's just red and sweaty and stuff like that. But there's something in my mind of watching like that Hauk looks confident and comfortable and like he knows what he's throwing is the right thing to throw. And maybe that is just, you know, pitching longer and being more comfortable and maybe development being better, you know, because the other thing, you know, Boggs was breaking down a lot of stuff. The thing that actually might have been a changer here is his cutter, which he's throwing almost 4% more of the time. And he's throwing it a lot harder. It averaged 87 last year. It's up to 91 right now. And to throw that more, if you're going, you know, sinker inside, you're going cutter outside, you're going slider big. I mean, and then split finger breaking, you're covering all of the zone. Right. That's the thing that all pitchers don't have is you're covering all quadrants of the zone with that pitch mix.
It seems like if he's, you know, if the sinker is getting hit at 347 or whatever that is too, he's probably going to start mixing in those other pitches a little bit more as well. You know, because he can't throw the slider as much because it is a dangerous pitch for your arm health. Right. But so I think he'll start mixing in those other two pitches, which were both at XBAs under 250. So I think it'd be really, he just looks so good. It's kind of crazy right now.
Yeah. Oh, you know, it's funny. I actually inverse that. I just noticed it was the cutter more last year into this year, which he has relied more. It's the split finger, which is just, you know, it's a pretty big whiffy pitch, but he's just such an interesting pitcher overall. Going into some negatives, just a couple negatives we have for you, Steve, is Jordan Walker. That was the news we all walked into.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims. Sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Today, big news of the day is the Cardinals.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says
in this league.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In this league. Oh.
Given up is a loose word, but they've sent him down for a second straight year. But this one feels a lot different in my mind. I actually thought there was a lot of underlying things in Jordan Walker's game right now from like just an analytics standpoint that it's like, you know, the barreling is, I think it was better. The hard hit numbers were about the same. Like there's some encouraging stuff in the profile outside of him just having success that maybe he can get it right. But last year it was, you know, he's hitting 270 and he goes down. This year he is abysmal offensively. And this team just has so much. Do you think this is the proverbial end of Jordan Walker? Obviously he can come back and But like from that fantasy perspective, people are trying to come to terms with, oh, do I need to cut Walker and move on? Do you think in 2024 you can move on from Jordan Walker?
At this point, gosh, it sounds terrible to say this before we're even done with April, but, at this point kind of do, and I hate that because Jordan Walker was one of those guys, you know, I'm a sucker for guys who struggle and, you know, put that to good use in terms of motivation and work habits and fixing things, and come back out and are a better player. And with, you know, his kind of talent, I really thought that that was what was going to happen with Jordan Walker this year. And I will say one thing, though. The Cardinals themselves on offense have not been any great shakes up and down the lineup.
Well, if they play the Diamondbacks, they are. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, with Goldschmidt and Arenado and everybody else, there hasn't really been anybody crushing the ball on the Cardinals. And I think one of the things for Walker's development is maybe get him down Louisville. Is that where their farm club is? I'm trying to remember.
Springfield.
That sounds
Springfield. Yeah. To get him, you know, just get him down in a different environment, because I would imagine everybody in that clubhouse in St. Louis may be pressing a little bit. And, you know, just get him out of that environment. Again, do a little refresh and possibly, you know, things come back. I guess, you know, there's plenty of time in the season for him to be an asset. But I think right now you can go ahead and cut him and maybe be the first to pick him back up if things start to turn around there at AAA. It's one of those things where he does not have to occupy that precious roster spot. And, you know, especially if the chances of him turning things around by the end of this year are maybe 50-50.
Yeah, it's so interesting, too, just to see the failure and how much positivity there was in the offseason. Oh, he's gained all this muscle and he was working at, it was either tread or whatever, driveline with Mason Winn, and all this work that was being done. And him, the hard part I have is, me and Bogman talked about this at the Open, so I'm not going to go any longer on it, but it's just like, this is a guy that was built on making a lot of contact. He was one of those almost Goldie-ish like players where it's just like he was built on hitting the ball for average, and the power would just come. And something is just completely regressed. And maybe it's that young guy pressure type of thing. I don't know, but it's just, it's clearly a bad sign. And there you have it. You know, being able to move on is probably there. There's another one, Boggs, I wasn't super big on in the preseason that has been a disaster. I just traded for him too, and this isn't working, but go ahead.
Yeah, Nolan Jones, Steve, has been on the struggle bus. The K percent is 37.5, which is bottom 1% of the league. The XWOBA is 221, bottom 1% of the league, bottom 3% in.
Don't sound any more excited, Bosch.
I mean, it is just like this guy in Colorado is having these just a awful start. You know, it can't be this bad the whole year. We know that, but is this a sign? Is this too much struggling to be like, well, if he gets better, you know, it's not like if Jared Jones regresses, he's still amazing, right? Because the numbers are insane. This is the opposite. If he gets way better, he's still not as good as what you paid for in the preseason. So is this like, is this going to turn around all in one big jump, do you think? And then we get the normal Nolan Jones and we're back to being happy because we have the big bat in the Colorado lineup? Or is this just a, woof, this looks so bad, I can't trust him at all moving forward, and maybe try to wait for him to get on a hot streak and sell him? I mean, it is, I sound depressing because I'm depressed. I don't have any shares of Nolan Jones, but I don't want anyone to struggle this bad to start. This is awful.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I have him on one team, and I'm not giving up. I'll tell you that. I think unless there is an injury that we don't know about, and maybe some of those numbers indicate that there could be, but he's still going out there every day. We still have the Coors Field factor. Maybe it's a little cooler in Denver this time of year, and the weather warms up, and maybe things will be a little bit better. You know, from
it was snowing there the other day.
Atmospheric point of view. So, you know, hopefully, you know, we have that going for us. It just seems to me like this, because we observed a very, very good player, a very, very productive player last year who finally got a chance to play every day and made the most of it. I think that's coming. And so I'm still optimistic, even though the numbers are so terrible. I'm going to keep running him out there. And unless they put him on the injured list, I still think Nolan Jones has plenty of upside. And you know, whatever's in the books right now is already there. And he's, you know, dragging you down in roto leagues or whatever. But you got a points league, head-to-head, whatever. I'm going to stick with him.
Yeah, there's anomalies. I also want to
point out just real quick that his career batting average in April – In March is 148, and it's not lower than 239 any other month. In May, it's 278. In June, it's 322. So, and he hits 40 points better in the second half through his, you know, career, which is still very young. I mean, it's, 87 games in the second half and 70 in the first half. So it's not like we're looking at a gigantic track record, but in his short track record, he starts slow. I'm sure a big chunk of that is this season too, but anyway, I just wanted to point that out.
I think huge buy low opportunity for me.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't agree that it's huge, but I do believe he's going to, he's going to get right. What was the thing I said in the preseason? Don't be surprised when what he did last year in like what 90 games or 100 is what he does over 162. Everyone looked at 2020 and said, oh my God, he's going to.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7. As
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not
in this league.
You're
in this league.
I'm the dude.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
He is historically better in the second half, two seasons, whatever. It doesn't matter. I don't care. Like, it just looks so bad from Nolan Jones right now. I feel like there almost has to be an underlying injury. And he's been terrible in the field, too. Like, the whole game sucks, right? It's not just he's taken the bat into the field with him right now. So it's just he has not looked great at any point yet. So
for me, Kowser, baby. Kowser is what you hope Nolan Jones gets back to. A guy that does strike out a bit, walks, hits the ball hard, barrels the crap out of the ball. He runs. He does everything. And by the way, also, Kowser's hitting like almost 290 against lefties, which is a huge positive to get out of those platoons.
I think
luckily all the players coming up are lefties, so it's not going to take him off the field.
I think there's definitely going to be a date where it's going to be the perfect time to have swapped those guys, right? Like, I do think we'll see it an intercrossing here, but, you know, I'm not willing to risk it right now. There's no way I'm buying Nolan Jones.
I have to admit, I can't watch the Rockies games. I mean, I just can't bring myself to watch them.
Yeah. They're not enjoyable. They're not enjoyable, especially when they beat your team.
Yeah, I have not watched certainly Nolan Jones play as much as I have Colton Kowser.
Well, you haven't missed much outside of just negativity. So Steve A. Gardner, that's a Twitter handle, USA Today. What's going on in your world? I know you got a lot of other sports stuff that's happening. Any baseball stuff or anything else you want to promote that's happening?
Busy stuff. I'm still writing Sports Weekly columns, fantasy baseball columns. Had one out for this week in the issue that debuted this Wednesday and is online, just talking about some of these, you know, slow starts and, you know, what can we think of all of these guys that are, you know, going homerless for the first 3-4 weeks of the season. So anyway, don't panic, I think is basically what we've talked about for a lot of these guys. And that's kind of what I wrote. So still writing there, still doing all sorts of other work for USA Today Sports up and down, you know, whatever's happening, chances are I could be writing about it. So,
all right. We probably had Julio on that list up until yesterday. So
absolutely.
Yeah, there he goes. He's getting going. We'll make sure to follow him on Twitter, support all his work and the USA Today. USA Today has always been rock stars. Steve, we love you, brother. Thank you so much for taking the time for us. And, you know, we'll talk to you soon as we always do.
Sounds great. Thanks so much for having me, guys. Always a pleasure.
There he goes. Thank you so much to him for spending time with us. And that is it. I always think it could be like, it could be a not long episode, and it is. But you know what? It's actually a little bit more classic ITL. We had really pushed episodes to an hour for a period of time, and now we're pushing closer back to an hour and a half. But hopefully you guys still enjoy the long form. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. What should everybody do this weekend? You should send in voicemails, but I have a caveat. The episode's going to be recorded on Sunday because I am going to be out of town for a couple of days, Monday through Wednesday. So if you would like, I'm going to be posting the Patreon post early, but if you want to send in voicemails, we need it by Sunday morning. So send those in, or Monday after, or Sunday afternoon or whatever. So inthisleague@gmail.com, your voice, you look confused.
You and I are doing the show early this week, are we not?
I just said Sunday.
You said Sunday.
You weren't listening. Okay. Yeah. Sunday. Said okay. Voicemail Sunday, because we're recording on Sunday.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Yep.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I send them in.
I heard you say Monday, but okay.
I did not. All right. Sunday, okay. Like afternoon, inthisleague@gmail.com, 60 seconds or less. Any question, if you want your voicemails, take priority, just like you heard last week. Obviously, it's a little bit shorter notice, so there's a possibility we could definitely get more to questions on, you know, like mailbag wise or on the Patreon post. So just fill it up so we can talk about it. But we will be recording the episode on Sunday, and it'll be out bright and early on Monday. I will be on leading off on Monday, but then I'm out. And guess what? Bogman is filling in for me on Tuesday and Wednesday on leading off next week. So go and enjoy some Bogman and Pizapia. That's going to be fun. You're going to be like fresh off of NFL draft, and then just days of baseball you're going to have to focus on, which is going to be probably hard for you.
Yeah, it's and then writing starts for the FP draft guide and Black Book as well. So yeah, May is going to be a fun month. It's going to be a lot.
It's going to be so much fun is what it's going to be.
So much fun.
Find us on Twitter @IsItTheWelsh, @BogmanSports, over at InThisLeague.com. That's a Patreon if you guys want to sign up. We'd appreciate you checking there. Make sure you're subscribed on the podcast app, and check out the stuff on Fantasy Pros. We've been having a lot of fun on the live streams, YouTube.com/FantasyProsMLB. Plus, you know, I've now not only got the live streams, but I've got my weekly trade video, which drops on Mondays. We've also got the prospecting. We take essentially my article. We do it live on leading off. So if you miss that, we then pull that, and that's its own produced segment on the Fantasy Pro side. So give those things clicks. Hopefully you like them. Let me know if you do. And I appreciate all your guys' support. That's going to do it. Thank you to Steve Gardner, and thank you to you. We'll talk to you next time right here on This League.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.